Some of us come out of privilege. Some of us come out of lives that seem to be smooth sailing. Others of us are lucky to get in out of the mud, we feel like. But all of us are saved the same way. We come to the same Savior. We worship the same God when we come to Jesus Christ. Isn't He good? Isn't He gracious to us? This morning we're going to reach back into the Old Testament. If you have your Bible, pick it up and find the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah and chapter 24 this morning. Jeremiah 24. As we're reminded of God's grace in the story of Jeremiah and in a conversation he has with God, a vision that God gives him, reminds us of God's grace and reminds us of a spiritual truth that is threaded throughout Scripture. And we want to focus on this for a few minutes this morning. It's very simply this, that your physical location does not dictate your spiritual condition. Your physical location does not dictate your spiritual condition. Now, we'll look more closely at this as we go along, but here's what I mean. See, the Bible teaches that your physical location may be sitting right in church, right here, right now. But that doesn't mean you're spiritually fit just because you're in church. You see? And as we'll see also, the Bible teaches that those who are not in church this morning doesn't necessarily mean that God has forgotten them, that spiritually they are abandoned by God just because they're not in church this morning. We tend to focus on our physical position and think that that dictates our spiritual condition. But as we'll see this morning, God says the basic truth is every person is in need of God's grace. Every person's in need of God's grace. I'm grateful to God for His salvation in Jesus Christ that brought me home to my Savior and my God. And I express that every Sunday. I express my gratitude and my worship to my God in church because that's where I want to be. I want to worship God. I want to praise God with God's people. But I'm not saved just because I'm in church. My physical position doesn't dictate my spiritual condition. My relationship with God is what dictates my spiritual condition. I am either lost without Christ or I am saved in Jesus Christ, and there's nowhere in between. There's nowhere in between. In the passage we're going to read this morning, the prophet Jeremiah lives in terrible and tumultuous times, a terrible time in the history of the people of God. At this time, the people of God are in Judah, down in the southern part of Palestine. And Jeremiah is their prophet. And their enemy is Babylon. Contemporarily, it would be Iraq. Their enemy is Babylon, and the people are called Chaldeans in the Bible, that are in, or Babylonians that are up in Babylon. That is their enemy, and they have been harassing the people of God for years. And during this time period, around 587 B.C., the Babylonians sweep down into Palestine, all the way down into Judea, which is in the southernmost part of Palestine, on the way to Egypt, in fact. And the Babylonians swoop down in there, and they lay siege to Jerusalem. They make war against the people of God. For years, they infiltrate and invade and occupy the land. And when they finally invade Jerusalem and bring down the walls successfully of Jerusalem, invading the city and tearing them down, they take into exile 3,000 people from the land of Judah, 3,000 of God's people. Now, the Babylonians and their king did this on purpose. They would do this to get the best of the best of other nations and other people into Babylon. Seemed like a good idea. They also did it so the best of the best could not remain in the land and be leaders to everyone else. So they would hand-pick these 3,000 people. They would get the doctors and the teachers and the accountants and the mechanics and the lawyers and the artists. They'd get the honor roll students and the Eagle Scouts. And they'd rally them all up and they would take them to Babylon, take them into exile. And they would leave in the land thousands of leaderless people. And then they would take the king with all those other people. They would take the king that was serving God into Babylon. And they would put on the throne of Judea a puppet king, someone they had picked out that would serve them, they thought, and they would listen to the king of Babylon, and they would have no worries of any uprisings or any other military problems way down there with those Israelites. And that's the setting that we're in. During that time, God gives Jeremiah a vision. God gives Jeremiah a vision. He says, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah, in his vision, is at the temple. And he sees that people are bringing offerings to the temple. And like many people of his day, there were different kinds of offerings that came. And someone had brought figs as an offering, a wonderful fruit, very common in the day, that everybody liked. And there were two baskets of figs in the temple. One basket of figs was ripe and delectable and delicious and looked wonderful. And Jeremiah said, I would love to have a fig to eat out of that basket. The other basket of figs, however, was rotten and inedible. It was stinking. It was terrible. And there they were, right side by side. And God says to Jeremiah, these two baskets of figs represent my people during this time. The rotten fig basket, he says, represents the puppet king in the nation of Israel and his officials and all the people who are following him into destruction. They do not have God's favor. Instead, to God, they are a stench. And the good figs, the ripe figs, the delicious figs, that basket represents the people of God who Babylon has taken off into exile. Read this with me. In Jeremiah chapter 24, we're going to start reading at verse 3. We're most interested this morning in the good figs, the ones that were taken off into exile. So look at this with me. Jeremiah 24 and verse 3, the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, so I regard as good the exiles from Judah I sent away from this place to the land of the Chaldeans. I will keep my eyes on them for their good and will return them to this land. I will build them up and not demolish them. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh, that is, I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God because they will return to me with all their heart. The Bible says that God does not think like we think. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He doesn't think like people typically think. This applies to this passage and this story. Here's how. You and I typically think, if we read this story, we would think that the people who were left in the land were God's favorites. That's why they got to stay home. That's why they got to remain in the land. And that's what the people of Jeremiah's day would think. And that's what Jeremiah might think. Why is it that the people that God would want to stay in the land were carted off to exile? Because in my minds and in their minds, if they got to stay home, the people that stayed home, well, those would be the people God would favor. And the people who were taken off to Babylon into exile, God was angry at them. God didn't like them. We would think, in other words, the people in exile should be the bad figs, and the people that got to stay home, those are the good figs. God likes them. God doesn't like the ones that went into exile. That's the way we think. That's not the way God thinks at all. Because remember again, your physical position does not dictate your spiritual condition. And God has not removed His grace from people that are in exile. Just because people are away doesn't mean God's forgotten about them. And just because people are present doesn't mean God is happy with them. Another perk of the parking lot is the disappearance of the dirt back here. Can I say it again? Some bad dirt. We've looked at that bad dirt for 11 years. And all around that bad dirt, we've been using good dirt. We've even had to bring in good dirt to do things with. And all the time, we had this mound of bad dirt sitting on the church property. We got good dirt on the church property. We got bad dirt on the church property. But everybody knows the bad dirt's what? Bad dirt. That's some bad dirt. And I've gotten a lot of mileage out of that bad dirt. In kind of a weird way, I'm going to miss that bad dirt. Just because the dirt is on the church property doesn't mean it's good dirt, does it? Doesn't mean it's useful dirt just because it's present, just because it's here. See, we tend to think in our own minds, if I'm present, if I'm there, then God is good with me. All is well. And all those people that are not here, God's angry with them. God's forgotten about them. They're not where they need to be. They are the exiles, and we are not. But you know what a key point of this passage is? Everyone who is apart from Christ, everyone who's out of fellowship with God, is in exile. Whether it's a self-imposed exile, you're the one that wandered off. You're the one that turned your back on God. You're the one that refuses to believe. Or whether it's the circumstances of life that's changed, and rather than commit to God, you've given into those circumstances. Whether it's, who knows, what happened? But here you are, or you're out there, and you come for homecoming for the first time. You've been in church in ages. Here you sit, and you realize that you're actually the one that's been in exile. You know what God says about that? Does God say, hey, forget you. I don't want anything to do with you. No. God says, come home. Come home. Come home. I want us to focus for a few minutes this morning on how God thinks about the exile. How God thinks about the one whose physical position has changed. And sometimes we call it falling out of church. Sometimes we call it drifting off, but that physical position might have changed over time. It's also for the physical position of those that nothing changed. You stay here because, see, you could be right here and be in spiritual exile from God. You've turned your back on Him. You're not serving Him. You're not useful to Him just because you're here on the church property. God has something He wants to say to you. Look at verse 5 for a moment. The word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah says. This is what God says. The God of Israel says that like these good figs, so I regard as good the exiles from Judah I sent away from this place. I regard as good. That's what He says. I regard as good. That's God's opening statement. What it means is God says, whether they are physically present or not, I choose to think of them as having a good future. He doesn't mean I think of them as being good in nature, that they're not sinners and they're always good and they never do anything wrong. That's not what He means. He says, I choose to think of the good things that can happen in their lives if they'll come home. That's what He means. I want you to know that when I think of the exiles, God says, when I think of the exiles, I don't think of how much I hate them, how angry I am at them, how mad I am at them. When I think of the exiles, I think good of them. I'm looking forward to them coming home. I want them to be here. Just because they're in exile doesn't mean God's turned his back on them. They might have turned their back on God, but it doesn't mean He turned His back on them. God says, when you wonder how I think of you, when the exiles wonder how I think of them, tell them, I regard them as good. I remember the good times we've had together. I remember their initial commitment to Christ. I remember what I created them to be, what I created them to do. And I know good things lie ahead if they'll come home, if they'll just come home. And you tell them that I want them to come back home. I regard them. That's how I think of them when I think of them. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's you. Maybe your physical position has been here, but you realize spiritually you've been in exile from God. You've been away from God. You're not serving Him. You're not faithful to Him. It could be that your physical position's been away also, and you've been wanting to come back and just don't really know how to do that. You know, I hear often from people who have drifted off from God and from church. Well, if I come back now, everybody asks me questions. I have to go through people saying, we love you and we miss you. Well, of course you do. You know why? Because we love you and we miss you. And we want you to know that. However your exile has come about, however you have been spiritually adrift from God, I want you to know God wants you to come home. God wants you to come home. Let's look more closely at this, because I believe in this passage there are three things we need to know this morning I'm talking to those of you who are in exile or you've been in exile, and already you know I'm talking to you. You know God's talking to you. Three things you need to know. First of all, know that God knows where you are. God knows where you are. I will keep my eyes on them for their good. There's that phrase again, for their good. He was saying simply to Jeremiah, be sure they know they're not out of range. No matter how far they drift, no matter how far they go, no matter what sin or habit they've gotten into, you let them know I still see them. I'm watching their lives. And when I watch their lives, here it is again, I don't look at their lives as if there's no hope for them. I look at their lives and say, come home. I can think of the good things we can do together if you'll come home. God knows where you are. We sit, if our physical location is here. We've been coming to church a lot. We're hiding from other people what we're doing, what we're going through, what we're thinking, how much spiritually we're adrift from God. And we think, people don't know where we're at. Well, I guess, you know, God knows where you are. God knows where you are spiritually. He knows where you are physically, but He knows where you are spiritually. Or maybe you're the one that hasn't been seated in these blue chairs in a while. You've drifted off physically from God. Listen, God knows where you are. He never lost sight of you. He knows who you are and where you are. God keeps His eyes on us out of loving, gracious concern and for our good. And He wants us to come home. So remember, God knows where you are. He's never lost sight of you. He always cares about you. Second, God plans for your best. God plans for your best. God wants the exile to come home. Now, when we come home to God and we've been adrift, we need to come repentant and humble and asking God's forgiveness. But here we have a window into what God wants to do next. Once we come home repentant and asking God's forgiveness because we've been away from Him, because we've been in a self-imposed exile or turned our backs on Him, when we come back to God, God says, here's what I want you to know. I have plans for you. I have plans for you. And they're plans to build your life, not to continue tearing it down. Plans to plant, not to uproot, not to tear apart. And a plan, God says, I have a plan to give you a heart to know me, the Lord your God. Of all the things we need most in life, and all the things we tell ourselves we need, there's really only one thing we need. We need God. We need God. If you've been adrift, if you've been in exile, your passion and your heart for God may have waned just a bit, and you're wondering how to get that back. You know what God has just promised you? God has promised you, if you will come home, I will give you a heart to know me, and a heart to love me, and a heart to serve me. In our language, when we speak of the heart, we usually speak of emotions. I love you with all my heart. Usually means I'm in love with you. I feel warm and gooey. And that's not what this means. The heart in the Bible, when we say we love God with all our heart, it's a commitment of the will. The heart, not only the seat of the emotions in the Bible, but it's mainly where the will is, where your decisions are. It's the core of your being and your character. It's what you're drawn to and what you're passionate about. And God says, I want you to know, if you'll come home to me, if you'll return from exile, I will give you a heart to know me. I will restore that commitment. I'll inflame that passion. There is nothing like renewing that love for God to build a love for God and a commitment for God. God says, I want to do that for you. You know, when King David sinned against God, his physical position in the kingdom did not change, but his spiritual condition sure did, didn't it? He sinned against God with his sin, his adultery with Bathsheba, and wrote Psalm 51 as a psalm crying out for forgiveness, his song to God. And in that he pleaded, give me a clean heart, God. Create in me a clean heart. Because God is the one that can change the heart. But it begins with us crying out to God. It begins with us pleading for forgiveness. It begins with us coming back from exile and saying, God, change my heart. Because I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to love you and I want to serve you. God has plans for your best. God has plans to shape your life that you can be the person He wants you to be. He's just waiting for you to come home. And then third, most important, God wants you to come home. God wants you to come back. God wants you to return from your exile and come back to Him. Verse 7, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh, that is, I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, because they will return to me, here it is, with all their heart. With all their heart. I've learned over the years that the people who tend to be the most passionate for serving the Lord, the most delighted with the presence of the Lord, the most worshipful among the people of God, are people who have come back from exile. People who have faced their sin, faced their departure from God, faced their exile head on and realized how much they desperately want to come home to God. So here they come. They drift in, maybe quietly, but then suddenly they come back to the Lord. They make a new commitment and they ask God for His forgiveness. And then they realize that forgiveness of God. They recognize it. They taste it. They experience God's forgiveness. And that heart they had before is inflamed again. That desire to serve God. Their commitment is deep. The most committed people to serve God are the people who know what God's forgiveness is, who know what Christ has done for them on the cross. They've come back out of exile. They've returned home to the Lord. And they are passionate, as God puts it, wholeheartedly. You know, that's a great phrase, because it comes in the context of loving God and serving God with our hearts. He says, come back with, and I'll give you a heart to know me, and then wholeheartedly you'll serve me. When God gives you a heart to know Him and love Him and serve Him, you can't do it half-heartedly. You're going to do it wholeheartedly. You make that commitment, that fresh commitment, and you will find, if you make a commitment to come home to God, you will find God at the other end of the aisle, at the other end of your prayer, with His arms open wide, loving you, embracing you, and changing you, and turning you into someone that He can use for His glory. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine for a moment what God could do with a whole bunch of people, with a church full of people who were wholeheartedly, absolutely sold out and committed to serving and loving Him? Can you imagine? Because the truth of the matter is, we're not at that point, because we still have some that think that their physical location means they've got a good spiritual condition. Everything's all right, when in fact we're in exile spiritually from God and we need to come home. And maybe this morning, as you're listening to this, you know God's talking to you. And the reason you know God's talking to you, because you think, I'm talking to you. Well, I didn't know you were going to be here. I love it when people say to me, and with all honesty, I'm saying that, you know, God, you know, that word, you, that really spoke to me. And I didn't know that. Only God knew you were going to be here. Only God knew this was for you. And if that's speaking to you this morning, that's God talking to you. And maybe it's you, and maybe you're wondering this morning, what if I come home to the Lord today? Now, what if I say, God, I want to come out of exile. I just want to come back to you. I want to come home to you, Lord, to know you better, to know you again, to be impassioned again, to serve you. God, I just want to come home. You wonder how He's going to act, what He's going to say. I read this story this week. This couple's been married since 1960. Their names are James and Jan. Thought I was going to say Jane, didn't you? James and Jan, been married since 1960. Live in New York. They vacation every year at Lake George. And 1976, they love Lake George so much, they bought a home at Lake George for their vacation place. The same year they bought their home, they were at their brand new place to vacation at Lake George, and James was down in the water, and somehow, he still doesn't remember when or how it happened, his wedding ring slipped off his finger and dropped into the water. He didn't even know it was gone. Didn't even realize he wasn't wearing his wedding band until he got back to the house, was preparing fish for dinner, looked down, there was no wedding band, so he rushed back down, he looked everywhere he could, they never could find it. They looked and they looked, they never could find it. They even posted ads for their wedding ring, did everything they could to try to find it, and they never could find it. In 2010, that was 1976, in 2010, a neighbor at the lake was standing in the water, fishing, looked down, and there's a shiny gold band laying at her feet on top of the sand. She reached down, she picked it up, she read the inscription, which was a biblical inscription, and she read the wedding date and the names on it. She said, "This sounds familiar." She hunted down Jan and James, returned the ring to them, and the reporter who captured the story and retold their story said that it wasn't James that grabbed the ring. He'd already replaced his wedding band. He'd had a new wedding band for years. It was his beloved wife, Jan, that grabbed that wedding band, and as the writer put it, she held it close to her heart like a long-lost love that had come home. I want you to know this morning, God has never given up on you. God has never forgotten you. If you want to know how God's going to respond when you come out of exile and come home, you just heard it. We see it in the prodigal son story of Luke 15 as the father stands with arms wide open and embraces his son who's come home. We see it in the story of the shepherd who leaves behind 99 sheep to search for one. We see it over in Scripture. God wants you to come home. Come home. Come back to Him. He's waiting for you to do good for you, to build up your life, to give you the life that He wanted you to have all along. Come out of exile and come home. Let's pray together. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. God is speaking to you this morning that you may be the one that God is calling home. Just one or two in here. There may be one in here who needs Jesus as your Savior. You need to come home to Christ as well. But you know where you're at spiritually, and you know that God sees you there. Heavenly Father, God, you're working in our hearts and working in our midst this morning. God, how I pray that on this day of homecoming, we would truly come home to you. Father, I pray, God, for those who need to come out of their exile spiritually, that place they've been for so long, and they know, God, they're not in fellowship with you. We know, Father, we're not passionate about you and serving you. Father, forgive us for that. God, you're calling us home. And I pray, Father, we would come home and wholeheartedly come home to you, embrace your love again and your grace again, God, as you meet us. Father, I pray for that one who needs Christ today that they be saved. I pray for that one with problems and trials and struggles in their lives, God. They need your soothing touch. They need your soothing and comforting love today. God, I pray they'd find you at the cross as well, God. That we all would come to Christ this morning in our needs and our burdens and our exile, coming out of exile, God, needing forgiveness wherever we are, Father, in our spiritual walk, God. We'd come home to you and we'd come to Christ. So, Father, for those who need to make decisions today, Father, I pray you'd move in our midst, that we would surrender all to Christ today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.